Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
God wants you blessed. He wants you abundantly blessed, heavily blessed with himself, with his blessing. And that's why he has you here today. Because he wants to bless you. Think about that. He has you here today to bless you. That's why you never want to miss your time with him. Because when he calls for a meeting, it's to bless you. And it is the Father's desire to bless you. And to bless in the Old Testament means to endue with power for success, prosperity, fruitfulness, richness, productiveness, longevity, and on and on and on along those lines. We can just go on and on and on. But that is what it is to be blessed. And we've talked about this many times here. We've done several services, several messages by the leading of the Holy Spirit about being blessed. But God wants to do something special today. He wants to do something very special in our lives today. He wants to put something on you. He wants to put something fresh and new on you today. Are you open for that? Are you receptive to that? Because I've been carrying this around and it's just stirred up in me. And I know this is what he wants to do. He wants to bless you. He always does. But he wants to bless you in a special way today. So I'm going to read that again. To bless, it means to endue with power for success, prosperity, fruitfulness, richness, productiveness, longevity, and so forth. Now that word endued means clothed, fully dressed, or fully clothed. God wants us fully clothed. Now you remember back in the beginning when man sinned, he basically through his sin stripped himself. He stripped himself and he and his wife were found naked and ashamed. They had stripped themselves of the blessing and basically through sin had cursed themselves, brought a curse upon the human race. But God came immediately to rescue man. He didn't want man to stay in that cursed condition. He came immediately to clothe man. And you see that over in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. A lot of people miss this. But the Bible says, after Adam and Eve, you know, they had covered themselves with fig leaves. It says that God came and did something. Genesis 3:21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. Notice that. We're talking about in the very beginning when there had not been any death in the earth. All Adam and Eve have known is life. Just life, everything teeming with life. No dead leaves, no brown grass. I mean, everything was just full of life. And here, God slaughters an animal, sheds the blood of that animal, and uses the skin of that animal to clothe Adam and Eve. Because he didn't want them to be found naked. He wanted them clothed. Just like he wants us clothed, not just with natural clothing, but with spiritual clothing. Now, God was limited in what he can do at this time. It was kind of the best he can do at the time. But at that time also, you remember, he prophesied that one would come. Talking about the Christ, the Messiah, who we know to be the Lord Jesus, would come and he would crush the head of the serpent. And it would be through Jesus that mankind would be clothed more properly, would be clothed with the clothing that God originally planned for man to be clothed with. And that clothing is the blessing. The blessing. Because remember, the blessing, or to be blessed, is to be endued with power, endued, clothed, fully clothed with power for success, prosperity, fruitfulness, richness, productiveness, longevity. This is clothing. God wants you basically dressed for success. Have you ever heard that phrase before? Dressed, he's dressed for success. And they're usually just talking about his natural attire. But there is spiritual attire that you're to be dressed with so that you can be successful in life. And that clothing is the blessing. God wants you blessed. He wants you clothed. To be cursed is to be spiritually naked, which is what man brought on himself in the beginning. But thank God Jesus came to turn that around and to get us clothed again. That's why he came, was so that we could be clothed, so that we could be blessed with this spiritual clothing, endued with power for success. Endued, clothed, fully clothed with power for success. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians the 5th chapter. And in verse 2, it says, "For in this we, and who's this written to? It's written to church, it's written to God's people. He says, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked." See, there's a lot of folks walking around in this world that are spiritually naked. They're stripped of their spiritual clothing. They're under the curse. They're under judgment. But thank God, when we come to Jesus, we can get out from under God's judgment, get out from under the curse, and be blessed. Be clothed properly. Dressed for success. Dressed with power. Power to live long and to prosper, to be fruitful and to do well. Wasn't that God's first command to man in the very beginning? Be fruitful and multiply. That was God's command to man in the very beginning. But see, man lost the blessing. He didn't lose it. He stripped himself of it. That's what he did. He took it off. Nobody came and snatched it from him. He took it off. I mean, the devil tempted him, but he went ahead and he took it off. Well, thank God Jesus came so that we can put it back on. And you have to put it on. It has to be put on. It isn't something that just automatically happens to people. It's something you have to receive. It's something that you have to clothe yourself with. Over in Galatians chapter 3, Galatians the 3rd chapter, and in verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And if you want to know what the curse of the law is, read about it in Deuteronomy 28. It's everything that, anything in life that you would consider a curse. I mean, it covers everything. It covers everything that you'd consider a curse. What you consider a curse, God considers a curse. God doesn't work in such weird, mysterious ways that, you know, sometimes he's cursing people, but it's a blessing really to him, even though it looks like a curse to us. And people talk like that. Well, you know, it's a blessing in disguise. This sickness, this disease, this car wreck, this tragedy, this terrible, it's a blessing in disguise. We just don't know. God works in sovereign, you know, this is just such weird stuff people come up with because they get away from the Bible. and try to teach about God. Don't teach about God without the Bible. A lot of people teach about God without the Bible. Let's learn about God through the Bible. And so he calls out in Deuteronomy 28, all these curses. Everything that he believes is a curse. And when you read it, you look and say, that is a curse. And then, before that chapter's over, it mentions all, well, actually, it starts with the blessing. It's what it starts with. And then ends with the curse. And it mentions the blessing, and everything that it, God calls a blessing, you would call a blessing. So what God calls a blessing, you would call a blessing. What God calls a curse, you would call a curse. So we don't have to be confused about what's a blessing, what's a curse. And we never want to look at a curse and say, well, God's you know, trying to bless me. That's why he sent this thing. That's why he's done this thing or allowed this thing in my life. So we're not of that kind of thinking. I said, a lot of people are, so I just want to make sure we're not. We got our minds renewed to the not to religion, to the truth. So we say, thank God for the blessing. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. How many of you know when Jesus hung on that tree, he hung there naked? That was one of the things the movies don't predict that, portray that. But he was. That's what they did. That was a part of Roman crucifixion. He was stripped naked. And he was made a curse for us. Because being cursed is being spiritually naked. And it was depicted there in the natural, in the way Jesus was crucified. He became a curse for us in every sense of the word. For a reason. Why did he do all this? Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. That's the non-Jewish people. The Gentiles in Christ. In other words, come upon those who are not the natural seed of Abraham, which is the Jewish people. That it might come upon the Gentiles also. In Christ Jesus. That we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So he tells you right there what the blessing is. I mean, we know the blessing is power for success and prosperity and so forth. But who embodies this power? It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When the Spirit of God comes on you, you will have power to be witnesses, for successful witnesses of me. People will begin to see the resurrection life of God working through your life. So the Holy Spirit embodies the power of God, that power for success, prosperity, and fruitfulness. And notice, it comes upon, just like you put clothing on, the Holy Spirit comes upon. Now we know when a person's born again, God breathes into them his Spirit. And we become one, our spirit becomes one spirit with the Holy Spirit. And we have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. But even after that happened for the disciples that had walked with Jesus after the resurrection, after they had walked with Jesus, Jesus appeared to them. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. At that moment, they were born again. They received the Spirit of God into their spirit. But then he tells them, just a few days later, to tarry in Jerusalem, for they shall be endued. They shall be clothed with power to be witnesses unto him. So he tells them to do that. They do that. They receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, a Jewish feast day. And the Holy Spirit now has been poured out, and people have been being baptized in the Holy Spirit ever since. How many of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit? See, the first step is receive Jesus, receive the Spirit of Jesus into your heart by believing on Jesus and what he did for you. That he became a curse for you. that he took your sins upon himself so that now you could be washed and clean and holy so that the Holy Spirit could come and live on the inside of you. And then after receiving the new birth, being born again, born of God, now we need to go on just like the disciples did and be endued with power from on high. We need God's power to come upon us. And thank God for a lot of people in this place, he has done that. He has come upon us in power. Praise God. So therefore, we're blessed. I mean, if you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God is upon you, you are blessed. You're a blessed person. If you have faith in Jesus and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are blessed. But notice this. Let's go back to that word endued and what it means. It means clothed, fully dressed, fully clothed, fully. Now, if something could be fully clothed, that means it could also be partially clothed. So you can be clothed a little or you can be clothed a lot. Now, in the wintertime, and you're going outside and it's 0 degrees out, you're usually going to wear more clothing. You're going to put more clothing on than you would on a hot 90-degree summer day at the pool. If you showed up at the pool dressed like you would show up in the wintertime to go sleigh riding, people are probably going to think something is majorly wrong with you. You got something out of order. Something's not clicking. And on the flip side of that as well, you know, if you show up in your bathing suit to go sleigh riding, then, you know, that's not going to be a comfortable experience. Now, you can do it. You can go out there and say, I'm clothed. And you go out there, your bathing suit on. I'm clothed. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know why my fingers are turning blue. I don't know why I can't feel my arm anymore. I don't know what's happening here. I don't know why frostbite is creeping in. I don't know why that's happening. I am clothed, God. I put my clothes on. I put on a bathing suit. Well, yes, you are clothed, but not clothed enough to handle the elements like a fully clothed person can handle the elements. And it's the same way spiritually. Thank God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for receiving the blessing. But honestly, I believe there's a lot of Christians walking around. And, you know, the blessing's awesome no matter what. But I believe that a lot of folks aren't fully blessed. They're not walking fully clothed as they ought to be or as they need to be or as God wants them to be. God wants you fully blessed. I got news for you. We are living in sub-zero temperatures spiritually. This world is as cold as ice, and you'll experience frostbite very quickly. The bite of Satan, the biting of demons, you'll experience them biting and devouring your life if you are not dressed like you're supposed to be. You could be a Christian, you can be blessed, and yet, it seems like you live on the edge of being cursed. And Satan is just nipping at your nose. It's so easy to become numb spiritually in this world. You just sit down. I mean, you can leave a nice red hot service. You know, we're all sitting around the fire. Glory to God, man. The pastor was on fire today. Man, that word was hot off the presses of heaven. And we can go out there, get in our vehicle, drive down the road, go home. And it's so cold out. Spiritually, the temperature of this world is so cold that you can immediately begin to grow numb, dull, insensitive to the things of the Spirit, to the things of God. And there's so many things calling for, pulling for people's attention today. Just trying to pull their minds off the things of God, that people could become very numb, very spiritually dumb, very, very quickly. That's why the Bible warns us over in Hebrews, the third chapter. It says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart in departing from the living God." You got to watch about departing from God. He's talking to the brethren. You got to guard yourself. You got to guard yourself from hard-heartedness. In the wintertime, nice fluid water can become hard, become frozen, become ice, become something that was once fluid. Now it's like a rock. You can walk on it. You can go skating on it. Why? Because of the temperature outside. We have to watch ourselves. We got to remember, no matter what it seems like right now in the natural, oh, it's so hot. It's so hot. Yeah, I know. But yet, spiritually, it's freezing. So even though you might just be wearing some shorts and a t-shirt, naturally speaking, make sure that's not what you're wearing spiritually. Get all the spiritual clothing on that you can. God wants you fully clothed. He wants you fully blessed. Fully blessed. And we see here in Romans chapter 15 and in verse 29, he says, "But I know," now this is the Apostle Paul writing to the churches. He says, "But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing." The blessing of the gospel of Christ. So notice he tells us right there that there is a full blessing. And if there's a fullness of the blessing, then there is a partial blessing. Just like if there's being fully clothed, you can be partially clothed. So Paul's saying, when I come to you, I am coming in the fullness of the blessing. Why is he telling him this? Because he's saying, I am coming to help fully clothe you. Now, some of you are clothed already. Now, again, there are some that, again, like we just read back in 2 Corinthians, there are people that will be found naked when Jesus returns. I mean, that's how far backwards they've gone. They've gone to the point of they've just stripped themselves. You got to watch. You know, I think there's more Christians looking to strip themselves of the blessings that they have received than there are Christians looking to go on and get more blessing, get more spiritual clothing. You know, people, I think they think, well, they feel comfortable. You know, they feel like, well, I got enough. I've learned, I know, I understand, and I know a lot. And they get to this place where they feel like, well, I'm blessed. I know the Bible says I'm blessed. And then they begin to drift back and actually start shedding some of their spiritual clothing by playing with the things of this world that dull them to the things of the Spirit, that tempt them to walk away from spiritual blessings. So the Apostle Paul, he's saying, I'm coming with the fullness of the blessing to help clothe you. These are Christians. They're Christians, right? So they've already made Jesus their Lord. So they've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because that's the kind of churches that Paul started. It's the only kind of churches that there were in the Bible, in the New Testament. The only kind of churches you see in the Bible are filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, laying hands on the sick, getting healed, casting out demon churches, miracle working churches, power of God churches. That's the only kind of churches you see in the Bible. So, I mean, I think that's the only kind of church we should have today. I would think that's the only kind of church we have, being that's the only kind of church we do see in the New Testament. So he's coming to them as really a spiritual father. He's the founding spiritual leader of these churches. And he said, I'm coming with the fullness of the blessing. And so, God, I just know that's what he's put on my heart today. He wants to get more clothing on us. He wants us to go further in being blessed. And so how can we be further blessed? How can we be further blessed? Well, one of the ways is we need to be speaking the blessing over our life. Because a big part of the blessing is declaring it. Declaring it. A verbal blessing needs to be spoken over your life. And that needs to start with your mouth. You need to be speaking blessings over your life. You ought not be cursing yourself. I'm such an idiot. I'm so stupid. I'm so ugly. I can't believe I did that. Have you ever said anything like that? I think we all have. Cursing ourselves. We need to be speaking the blessing over ourselves, because that's one of the ways the blessing is released into our life, is through it being spoken, being declared by faith. The word needs to be spoken by faith. So we need to take hold of God's word, which is full of words of blessing, and we need to be speaking it over our life, declaring who we are according to the word of God. You know, God thinks some pretty great things about you. Did you know that? I mean, you go to the word of God and you'll see just how God feels about you. He thinks you're pretty amazing. He looks at you and goes, more than a conqueror. More. I mean the righteousness of me. This is what God thinks. You know. The righteousness of me. I mean, this is what he sees. The head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. Right? He sees his offspring, children of God, seated in heavenly places, far above all wickedness, authority over demons, ambassadors of Christ, rulers in the kingdom of God, dignitaries of heaven. I mean, this is how God views you. You need to look into how God views you, and you need to speak that about you. You need to speak blessings over your life. Isaiah chapter 65. Verse 16 declares, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. Notice that. So that he who blesses who? Huh? Himself. He who blesses himself in the earth. Are you in the earth? Are you a self? I mean, it doesn't even say to do it. It says he who does it. I mean, it's like, it's almost like this should be normal. When we're doing this, this is how we do it. The Amplified says it this way. So it shall be that he who invokes a blessing on himself, again, invokes. See, that's something you declare. You speak over yourself. He who invokes a blessing on himself in the land shall do so by saying. Saying. See? How are you going to put a blessing on you? How are you going to get some spiritual clothing on you? Saying. Saying. Never say, I have nothing to wear. I never have anything to wear. That's not a good thing to say. I mean, in the natural, it might look like you only have a couple things. But just step back and go, well, it might not look like I have a whole lot of clothing here in the natural, but I'll tell you one thing. I am clothed with the blessing of God for success and prosperity. So this closet's about to change. Yeah, well, some women got excited about that. This closet's about to, don't just stop there with the closet. Praise God, step back and say, I am blessed to change this thing. I'm blessed to prosper. I'm blessed to change this, my circumstances, my condition. You got to speak good things about yourself. You got to speak well of yourself. And I'm not just talking about occasionally stumbling across saying something good. Yeah. I guess I did figure that out. Praise God. No. And we're not just talking about speaking according to the flesh. Just commending yourself according to the flesh. Because if you commend yourself according to the flesh, you're going to equally condemn yourself according to the flesh. You'll probably condemn yourself more than you commend yourself. How about if we just don't judge according to the flesh? We just come to the Word. Just come back to the Word of God. And we speak what God says about us, which is always speaking well of ourselves. And to do it deliberately, do it on purpose. You got a purpose to do it. Do it on purpose. I mean, you make sure you do it today. You're going to speak blessings over yourself. That way you're doing that, you're acknowledging and giving thanks to Him. Because you know it's not of yourself. So you're acknowledging Him in all your ways. You're thanking Him. And you're saying, thank you, Lord, for redeeming my life from destruction. Thank you for raising me up and causing me to sit together with you in the heavenly places. Thank you for redeeming me from the curse of the law. Every sickness, every disease, every kind of disaster, tragedy that could happen to a person, you have redeemed my life from it. You've redeemed my life from destruction. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. And I am strong in the Lord. I am strong in His might, in His power. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. I can't be stopped, and I'm not going to quit. Because God doesn't quit believing in me, so I'm not going to quit believing. I'm going to keep believing in God who believes in me. Hallelujah. Praise God. I am of I am. I'm in the vine, bless God. I'm a branch in Him, and I'm bearing fruit. There is glory on my life. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has blessed me. He has anointed me. He has empowered me to prosper, be a success, to bring health and healing and wholeness and happiness to the world. I'm a blessing going somewhere to happen. Watch out, world. Here I am. What if you talked like that all the time? Is it okay to talk that way? Yes, because you're talking the Word. I said you're talking the Word. Well, I don't want to talk too much about me. I just want to talk about Him. You are talking about Him. You're talking His Word. He is the Word. You're saying what He says. That's lifting Him up. That's lifting Him higher. That's exalting Him. That's adoring Him. By acknowledging what He has done for you. Can you say amen? Amen? So it's important. If we're going to be fully clothed, this is a big part of it. What you say about yourself. I said, what you say about yourself is very important. But then also, in addition to that, having the blessing conferred upon you through the faith of a father in the faith is a part of God's plan to empower you to prosper in life, to get you to the place where you're fully blessed, fully clothed, no room for any lack. That is a part of the Father's plan, to have a father in the faith that God has placed us under, to speak over our life, to affirm that we are blessed. We're saying it, we know it, but then to have a spiritual father in the faith stand over you and to declare that over you is very important. Very important that they affirm the blessing of God that's upon your life. Affirm you spiritually. Give you spiritual affirmation. We need spiritual affirmation. That's a part of the Father's plan of getting us fully blessed and clothing us. We need spiritual affirmation. And then, in addition to that, there is a further increasing There's an increasing of the blessing of God that can be bestowed upon us through the faith of others as well. And this is something God wants to do, and he wants to do it today. If we can get there, can we do this?
Yes.
Praise God forever. Now let's just look over here to build our faith up. Let's look at this illustration over in Genesis chapter 27. Of course, in chapter 12 of Genesis, God blessed Abraham. In fact, I'll just read it real quickly. God met with him and said to him, spoke something over his life and said in Genesis 12, 1, or Genesis, I'll start in verse 2. He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God speaks this blessing over Abraham. And then, of course, Abraham has the promised seed, which is Isaac. And, of course, Abraham transfers that blessing into Isaac. And now Isaac grows up, and he has two sons, twins, Jacob and Esau. And now the time comes where he wants to bless them. He wants to speak the blessing over their life, mainly Esau. He wants to bless Esau because Esau is his firstborn. But he had a blessing for the two of them, but he wanted Esau to have the greater blessing. Well, most of us know the story, how Jacob, with the help of his mother, deceived Isaac, who was blind at the time. And there's some significance to that in the Word of God. You got to remember, Isaac was not born again. He's an Old Testament man. Old Testament man. I mean, this is before Moses. And so he is spiritually blind. He is not born again. You don't start seeing until you get born again. Remember, Jesus said over in John 3, he says, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't see. So here, he's blind, but yet he's got faith. He's got faith in God. He's got faith in the blessing of his father, Abraham. He's got the faith of his father, Abraham, to be a blessing and to impart this blessing. See, because it takes faith to do it. It takes faith to do it. So here in Genesis chapter 27, he is deceived by Jacob, thinking it's Esau. And Jacob's going in there to steal the blessing. Now think about this. I mean, this is how much these guys believed in it. I mean, this was a big deal. They really believed this, that if this spiritual father, because that's what he was, more than just a natural father, because he was a spiritual man. He wasn't born again, but he was a man of faith. That makes him a spiritual man. So here's this spiritual father, or a father in the faith is who he is. He's not just acting here as a natural daddy. He's acting as a spiritual father, a father in the faith. And so he believes in what he's going to do. And Jacob believes in it so much, his mother believes in it so much, that they know that when he speaks this over our life, things are going to happen. We're going to be empowered for success. So Rebecca's like, Jacob, this belongs to you. God spoke that to me when you were in my womb, that the younger is going to rule over the older. This belongs to you. And so she wants to make sure he gets the blessing. And of course, he wants it. And he was actually afraid to do it because he thought, well, he's going to find out I'm deceiving him, and then he's going to curse me. He's going to speak a curse over my life. And they believed in it. They believed that what was spoken by faith would come to pass. Not just everything that's spoken comes to pass. It's words of faith. Words of faith. Because words of faith are empowered by the Spirit. And the Spirit of God is the power behind words of faith that cause what is spoken to come to pass. Words of faith are so awesome. So awesome. That's why you want to get your faith built up and declare them. Speak, speak, speak. Because things happen. And sometimes you got to just speak the word until you're really speaking the word. in faith. You know, sometimes you start out in the, and I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things Christ strengthens me. Hey, amen. You don't, I mean, you're not there. No, I'm born to be a prosper. Just stay in there. Just keep thinking on it. Keep meditating on it. Keep declaring it. Until you start getting it. Sometimes I have to go and I just stare at the scripture for a while. Say it to myself. 1 Peter 2:24. By whose stripes you, that's you, were healed. You were healed. You were, not trying to be, you were. You were healed. And I'll just do that until I get it. You, bless God, I got it. You were healed. Thank you, Lord Jesus, I'm healed. I've been redeemed from the curse of the Lord. He took my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses. I'm blessed. So sometimes you got to just hang in there. You got to start out in the flesh, kind of believing it. You know, believing it enough with your head to get in there and speak it until you're really believing it with your heart. That's what we got to do. But a lot of times people don't do it because, see, when you do it in the flesh, it's hard. It's hard. I know I'm taking a little extra time here, but it's hard. You know, you're grinding away in the flesh, you know, to speak the blessing, to speak the blessing over your life. And, you know, but you're doing it in the flesh. And that's where a lot of folks just quit right there. They just get tired of doing it. But if you'll just stay in there until you get over in the spirit, get over into faith, then you'll hit a gusher. And next thing you know, you just start declaring the word of God, speaking the word of God. It'd be hard to shut your mouth. You know, just like speaking in tongues, right? Sometimes you just start out, you know, in the flesh. You just, shika la ma shata la la. And your mouth is just drier and drier. And white foam is forming. And next thing you know, you're just going. It's a beautiful place to be when it's just flowing. Amen. But a lot of folks don't listen. They, you know, you got to cut through the flesh a lot of times to get there, and that's why a lot of folks don't really take the effort to get there, because in the flesh everything's hard. Spiritual things are very hard for the flesh because the flesh goes, I don't see any results of this. I don't see any purpose in this. This makes no sense to me. That's how the flesh is to spiritual things. Can we do something like really mean something? That's how the flesh is. So you got to just keep going until your faith takes over. And we don't hear from the flesh anymore. The flesh goes into hibernation. And the spirit goes into high gear. And then it's just the flowing, like rivers of living water, just like Jesus said it should be. Rivers of living water, living water, life-giving water, life-giving words flowing out of your life. Well, for time's sake, I'm not going to be able to go through it all. But you study, I think most of you know it. Jacob and Esau. And anyway, Abraham, let's just look at it. Genesis 27, I'll look at the blessing. So here, Isaac, it says in verse 26, then his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. My son. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him. He got inspired. First he said, make me savory food such as my soul loves. See, because he knew the soul has to get involved in this. You know, it's going to come from his spirit, but it's going to flow through the soul. Remember, we talked about that on the day of Pentecost, how important it is for your emotions to get involved, to have some passion involved with your faith. So he's got faith in his heart. He knows in his heart what he needs to do. But again, he needs to get his soul involved. So he says, make me savory food such as my soul loves. He smells that. His soul starts getting happy, you know, because you don't want your soul sitting down on you and your spirit's trying to do something. So he gets his soul real happy. And then he goes, he smells his son's clothing. He loves hunting. This is just exciting to him. And so now he's ready. Now the spirit is stirred up and his soul is just happy. And so surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you, and be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you. This is being passed down from Abraham. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. That's it. That's it. It's two verses. And yet that statement, those words that were spoken there, were absolutely life transforming. Because it isn't the quantity of the words, it's the quality of the word. See, we're not going to be heard for our much speaking. We're not going to be blessed for our much speaking. It's speaking words by faith. It's declaring. Again, speak it. Sometimes you got to speak it much until you can speak it right. And when you speak it right, man, the quality takes over. And it's no longer about quantity. You understand what I'm saying? So it's not a quantity of words, but this is they coveted after this. They fought for this. They desired this. Jacob is risking his life to have this right here. Risking his life. And it does change the whole course of his life. He has to move away from home because his brother wants to kill him and all kinds of things. Changes everything for him, but it was worth it to him to have these words spoken over his life, to receive this affirmation and revelation from his father. Not just naturally, but in the faith. It was worth it to him. Because it empowered him and changed the course of his life. Then, of course, you see it later on. Jacob, he grows up. He's an old man now. He blesses Joseph by blessing his two sons. This is all recorded over in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Over here where it talks about great men and women of faith. And it says in chapter 11, verse 20, it says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. So it's recorded here. He did this by faith. He blessed. Everybody say, by faith. By faith. He blessed. See? He spoke a blessing over their life. Isaac did that. Then it says, verse 20, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. And there's some significance to that, which we're not going to get into now. But notice this, Isaac and Jacob are here in what we call the Hall of Fame of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11, for what? For declaring a blessing. For declaring a blessing. Because they did it by faith. And when you do it by faith, it really happens. Things really change. What you say will come to pass. Glory be to God. He blessed them. And these men prospered. The world didn't stop them. The world didn't stop them. They walked in the fullness of the blessing of that day. Today, we can walk at even a greater level of that blessing. These are old covenant men. We're new covenant people. We can walk in even a richer, stronger, greater endowment of the Spirit of God. We got God on the inside of us so we can handle more. With God on the inside of us, we have the foundation to be able to handle a great, heavy endowment of the glory of God, of the blessing of God upon our life. Praise God. Now, thank God for the anointing because, again, the anointing is referring to the Holy Spirit, but we just learned today the blessing is referring to the Holy Spirit. And we have to understand that the Bible says in Isaiah that the anointing is yoke-destroying, burden-removing power. It's the anointing that when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you drive out demons, right? You cast out devils. You're a witness for Jesus. You destroy yokes. You remove burdens. Thank God for demons being cast out, burdens being removed. However, you need the blessing to fill the house that has now been vacated by demons. The blessing brings good things upon us. The anointing gets bad things off of us. It destroys the yokes. It removes the burdens. But we need the blessing now. Not just the anointing that destroys the yoke and removes the burdens. We need the blessing upon us now to replenish us and fill us and cause us to live a fruitful, abundant life, to bring good things to us. Can you say amen? So the anointing gets bad things off of us, and then the blessing brings good things to us. Isn't that powerful? And we need them both, don't we? I said we need them both. And thank God we can have it. This is the reason why God raised up the priesthood in the old covenant through Moses. If so, the priest could bless the children of Israel. In fact, it's recorded over in Numbers chapter 6. Let me just speak this over you right now. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. Notice that. This is the way you shall bless. I thought they're already blessed. This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless them. So notice that it says, this is the way you shall bless. And then ends it with, and I will bless. I will bless them. Because God's the one that is the blessing. He actually does the blessing. But this is how we can bless others, by declaring words of faith over them. So I just believe this is what God wants us to do this morning. That for those who believe and would receive a word of faith from me as their spiritual father in the faith, I will speak these words over you, and we believe that God's power will back those words up. I'm believing both the anointing to destroy the yoke and the blessing to put things upon you that you're missing. There's things that are missing. And I just believe God's inspired this. So he's the one that's actually going to do it. But I'm cooperating with him. And I'm putting myself out there to do what I believe he's leading me to do, and that is to lay my hands on whoever wants hands laid on them. Now, quite honestly, I wouldn't want to see anybody laying hands on me. So he says, oh, Pastor, I want to bless you. I say, hey, let me get back to you. Hey, Pastor, I got a word for you. That's nice. That's nice. Go hang on to it, okay? I mean, if I don't know this person, if this person has no authority in my life, if God has not created the connection, I'm not interested. Don't let people whom God has not connected you with walk up to you, lay hands on you, and bless you. Yeah. I've had people come up to me after a service, and it hasn't happened in a long time. It's nobody here. Because people like that usually remain very long. They don't remain here very long. But they come up to me after service. I just finished ministering the oracles of God, you know, under the anointing of God. And they come and say, I feel like the Lord wants me to pray over you. And I've looked at it and said, no, that would not be the Lord. See, because you're not over me. So he would not lead you to pray over me because you're not over me. I'm over you. But he hasn't led me to pray over you right now. And see, folks get confused about it. It's a rebellious, evil spirit involved in that kind of stuff. So you don't just put yourself out there and let just anybody lay hands on you and speak words over your life. And they said, I'm going to go on and do this, and that I should leave my family, and that I should start this whole thing. Who told you that? Well, I got this word in this meeting from these people that I never met before. That I know nothing about, but I felt led to go to the meeting. Well, that's nice. It's going to take a little bit more than that before I leave my family and move to Alaska and do some kind of wild thing. You understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. Praise God forever. So, but if you believe that this is where you're supposed to be, this is the authority you're supposed to be under, and you want to receive something from the Lord today in the form of a blessing, then I want to do that. Because I believe that God's leading us to do that. And I really have that in my heart. I've actually had this. This has been something that's been there for a very long time. I've never been able to get over to it. But bless God, I knew we were going to get over to it today. Just do it. So we're going to do it. Even though it's 12:15 and we're going to go a little later. Not going to go very late because I'm not going to stand very long. It's not a quantity of words. Probably just something like the Lord bless you. Or I bless you in the name of the Lord. You say, that's what you're going to say? What about the dew of heaven? What about... Now, if I smell something that really gets me excited, I might do more than that. I can't guarantee. You know, it happened to Isaac, right? To blessed. What's going to happen when you hear the word blessed? Ooh, you're going to be endowed with power for success, prosperity, fruitfulness, richness, productiveness, longevity, etc. That's what's going to happen. You're going to be endued. You're going to be clothed. Something's going to come upon you. It's going to clothe you. You might not feel a thing. because it's not physical clothing. I said, you might not feel a thing because it's not physical clothing. But it's there. It's there. Somebody says, I know it's already there. I'm already blessed. I understand that. But then, like we just talked about, they're speaking these things over yourself and affirming these things to yourself. And then there's others speaking it over our life by the direction and leading of the Holy Spirit. This isn't just something, we're not just doing something to do it. This is a leading of the Holy Spirit. I would not just do this. You folks that have been around here for any length of time, no, I'm not just always laying hands on everybody and just doing these kind of things. These things are very holy. I reverence these things. So we're doing it because the Spirit of God is leading us to do it. So there's something he wants to put on you today. He wants to bless you. You're going to walk out of here further clothed. So perhaps some things that were missing in your life. And it was just like, it just seems like something's missing. Something's missing. Today it changes. You believe that? Today it changes. Those things that are missing are not going to be missing anymore. You're going to receive it today. It's going to be upon you. You're going to have it. You're going to carry it. You're going to walk in it. And you're going to keep it through your own words. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.